Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M footy starts your weekend early.
How good is footy?
With every massive moment.
When you're hot, you're hot.
This
couldn't be more excited.
Is the Thursday Rub.
I'll just talk about myself and we'll be right.
Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals. Drink responsibly.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Last year it was one of the great festivals of footy gather round, and it is back starting tonight. The Adelaide Crows play host to the Demons in a little over an hour from now. We've got that and everything covered here on the Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals, and of course drink responsibly. And because it is the Thursday Rub, well, we start from Melbourne. We're actually not in Adelaide to start with. I'm Jack Heverin, Jay-Z Clark, one of the best in the business. Jay-Z, good to see you.
Good afternoon, Jack. Great to be with you. Looking forward to this game, Adelaide versus Melbourne. The Demons, what a win against Port Adelaide last week. Looking forward to seeing if they can make two on the trot over there in South Australia.
Watch this space, I reckon. We'll talk to Matthew Nix very shortly. Coach at the Adelaide Crows, and as soon as we're done with him, Simon Goodwin, the coach of the Demons, will join us as well. Isaac Smith, of course, is the fastest rising star in footy media. Is he good to see you? Where's the hat?
What? I've got my Adidas out here. And
no, the cowboy hat.
Oh, it's at home. I'll use that for a few special events. But yeah, it's not a bad hat, is it?
So you pictured in our magnificent newspaper, Isaac. Now, were you,
careful?
I got a feeling you might have been. In fact, let's be honest, you got caught in the crossfire.
Think your way through this, Jay.
Everyone sort of thinks you might have been partying with the Brisbane Lions boys, but you just got caught in a photo, mate. So you weren't actually partying on down with them in Las Vegas or Los Angeles or wherever it was. You just sort of happened to be in the same pub that night. Is that right?
I've been stitched up here going to Tennessee to watch a mate do a bit of punting, and we spent a night in Nashville together, and somehow I've ended up in Vegas, and not sure where that's all ended up, but I certainly wasn't there. So, a bit stiff, but anyway, move on.
Your mates can stop texting you. There weren't any shenanigans, of course, and Brisbane has sort of put the story to bed, haven't they? But we'll watch with interest their response against North Melbourne. But did you keep the hat, and did you get a matching pair of boots? Because I'm sort of more interested.
Yeah, I think the boots are the big story here.
Well, what you don't understand is my wife, she's a big, big, big country music fan.
And is she?
Yeah, I grew up in country New South Wales, so I had a little bit of it in me already, and when I had the opportunity to go to Nashville, she was like, you got to go.
Yep.
You got to go, and you got to do it properly. You need to get the boots. You need to get the hat. I've even got the pants and shirt hanging up at home. So
is that right?
Yeah. So we have put them on for every now and then. My daughter loves country music, and that pumps most days.
Right.
Taylor Swift's getting a bit of a flogging, but Darius Rucker's sort of the number one go-to. So no, we do have a little bit of country party at home every now and then, and I enjoy it.
So when you played the pump-up music before the big games in the gym at Hawthorn and Geelong, and everyone's playing, you know, Drake or, whoever the cool kids are these days.
Take us through some of the other cool kids, Jay.
I was going to say Jay-Z, but sort of talking a bit about myself. So you wouldn't be putting on the country and Western before the big games. Did that sort of get your blood pumping?
Yeah, no, I'd whack those. Well, I wasn't a big music man pre-game, but I certainly weaseled Wagon Wheel and a couple of others into our pre-games. The boys would always have a laugh, but then they came to our wedding, and we had a great band, a guy I played footy with, and they just smashed out country music all night. And I think I turned a few of the Hawthorn boys as well.
Is that right? Did you just call Clarko Sheriff when he came in?
He came dressed up as the sheriff one day.
Did he?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think I don't know why. Oh, I actually don't know why, but he's got the authority as of a sheriff.
Hey, plenty to get through tonight. A lot of news around, particularly around Collingwood. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the hour too, Jay-Z. The team's not too far away. But, I mean, we've only sort of started working together this year. Us and Kate McCarthy's a laid out, so K-Mac will be back with us next week. And I guess we're kind of still learning a little bit about each other. And about a minute before we went to air, Jay dropped a little nugget about something I would think an achievement in Jay's life. And Isaac just looked at him stone cold and said, that's not true.
He didn't believe me, did he?
Can you clarify this, please, on air, Jay, what we're talking about?
It has been mentioned a few times in our Triple M journey. I was just a bit worried. Has anyone heard from Nathan Brown and Dale Thomas after their boxing bouts last night. Like, normally the WhatsApp's going pretty hot throughout the day, but I haven't heard from any of these boys for the past 24 hours. So I am wondering what Daisy and Brownie, who was absolutely magnificent.
He was sharp.
Wasn't that a comprehensive win over Kano? Like, that was...
Yeah, it was. But mind you...
Smashed him.
At 45 years of age, did you see Kane's body?
He looked good, didn't he?
Oh, he's ripped.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you got to, you get in the square circle, Isaac. You got to be able to box.
Oh, Daisy, as if you'd get in there.
On the other hand, Swanee sort of controlled the center of the ring, didn't he? So looking forward to seeing those boys. But I have had a fight in a celebrity. Mate, there's a barrel.
This is not going well for you right
there's
now.
There's a barrel, and sometimes they had to dig right down to the bottom.
I was going
to
say, the only barrel I see is the one just below your neck.
Well, I hear that Daisy and Brownie got paid sort of like 50 large to fight last night, so we need to ask them about that. But I certainly wasn't paid that much. We had a boxing celebrity what charity mean? Event in Perth in 2007. And I've won fight and I remain undefeated. I've still got the belt at home.
You couldn't fight your way out of a wet paper bag.
You'd be really intimidated by me, wouldn't you?
The pre-show conversation went, I'm a licensed boxer. And Isaac went, no, you're not.
Mate, I saw you walk upstairs in Sydney. You couldn't blow out a candle.
That's true. Well, with conditionings.
Mind you, I did ring Jay-Z during the week and guess where he was?
Where?
At the gym. Sorry, mate, can't take your call. Just pumping some buys.
Yeah.
Wow.
BFT, Essendon.
Look at you go. And you're not going to gather around as well? Like, are you trying to sort of get yourself into really good shape here, Jay?
Locked out of South Australia. I've been in the gym more than you did, though, Isaac. Out of your 15 AFL seasons, did you enter the strong room at all? Or you just more your running man style training?
Oh, I'd enter the strong room because everyone had been there at the one time and it meant I could have a few chats. So, the Hawthorn boys used to give it to me saying I didn't lift much. And then the Geelong boys caught wind of it and just absolutely hammered me on it. So the Geelong gym's got a great setup. They've got about 15 TVs in there.
Yep.
You weren't allowed to take your coffee in there in the end because it was getting a bit of, taking the P155.
Coffee club.
So I'd stand just outside the gym on the second level and watch the TVs and wait for the boys to finish their weights and then we'd all walk out together.
And what was your thinking? You were just built for speed, basically. Is that was your...
Yeah, I was strong enough. Just a big, tough
boy. Just imagine those TVs, Sky Racing 1, Sky Racing 2. We're going to talk to both coaches very shortly. Matthew Nicks first, Simon Goodwin not too far away from that. But just on the Crows and tonight, they open gather round. It's a big occasion for them. It's been a really ragged start to the season, Izzy. What are you seeing with the Crows so far?
Yeah, it's been an interesting start. To be honest, I didn't have huge hopes for them pre-season. And I thought, I still think they're in probably 12 to 18 months of building towards their next finals push. And I was a bit surprised with a lot of the commentary coming out there. I thought last year they won games they probably the tipster wouldn't have picked them to win. I thought they overachieved a little bit, which then therefore everyone's like, well, you've got to do better next year. And that's not how football works. Mm. Like, you see teams like Fremantle went through a really good year and then they plateaued a little bit and now it looks like they're going again. So I thought Adelaide was due for one of those years. Their defence is really young. They had, I think, one player in Brody Smith who'd played over 100 games in their defence. The rest were under 50, pretty much. Miller was 97 at the start of the year, but he's gone out now as well. So they got a very young defence. And if you can't defend the key forwards and the best forwards in the competition, you're going to struggle to win. And I think their midfield needs a little bit of work as well.
And that is why when the whole Clayton Oliver circus broke last year in the trade period, Adelaide had the hat in the ring first for him. And I think, to your point, that is what we're seeing now. I mean, we all love Jordan Dawson, but, you know, other than him, you got Jones and Hinge on the wings. You know, Laird is a very solid, consistent player, but, you know, him and Ben Keys.
But the game's gone a little bit different now as well. Where?
How so?
Well, it's not about accumulators as such anymore. You need people that can break the lines, use their speed. And the one thing I've noticed from watching footy this year is not enough players take the grass in front of them. So, the whole slow handballing, little bit backward, short kick, that type of ball movement isn't cutting it anywhere near as much as get the ball moving fast, change the angles quick, and get it into your forward line and then lock it in there. So I think they'll tinker with their midfield makeup over the year.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. It's the Crows and the Demons to start Gather Round in a little over an hour from now. Isaac Smith, Jay Clark, Jack Heverin, Kate McCarthy are laid out for us tonight. Matthew Nix, the coach of the Crows, to join us in a couple of minutes. And as soon as we're finished with him, we'll head on over to the other side of the boundary and Simon Goodwin, the coach of the Demons, will chat to us here on the Thursday rub. Jay, read a story of yours this afternoon about Graham Wright attracting a bit of interest from head office.
Yeah, he's hot property, Graham Wright, which will come as a surprise to absolutely no one. You know him very well, Isaac. I mean, the four flags at Hawthorn, and then went to Collingwood and helped lift them up off the canvas. He's taking an extended break at the moment, so Brennan Bolton and Justin Lepich sort of doing the bulk of the footy boss's role in his absence while he has a bit of a holiday, maybe Honolulu Beachside, something like that. You can imagine,
oh,
right?
Mate, he'd have to have the full long sleeve on, the sunblock, the wide brim hat, everything. His skin wouldn't be like an Honolulu.
Maybe he's gone to Dublin then. Well, I actually don't know. I made that bit up. But he's taking an overseas holiday.
Well, you made it up, did you?
Well,
that'd be right.
He wasn't in Vegas, was he?
Isaac's sensitive about the Brisbane story. And I understand. Hey, when you at training, and everyone would be kicking the footies, did you get out the lasso? Like, were you more of a lasso?
Mate, I rode my horse to training one day. Had nowhere to tie it up.
Oh, we're mucking around. So Wrighty's in demand, right? So I don't think there's guaranteed that he's going to come back to Collingwood. They expect him to come back to Collingwood. He said that that is his plan. But it's very interesting that the AFL football boss, Laura Kane, had a sit down with him before he went overseas just to say, Wrighty, we've got this mid-season trade period coming in next year. What are you thinking for next season? Would you be interested? So very an informal conversation, but it just shows you the high regard he's held in and the list of clubs who'd be keen on Wrighty, either as a football manager, potentially CEO, be long as your arm. What's your experience with Graham Wright, Isaac? Because wherever he's gone, he's had success.
No, he's brilliant. He was brilliant at Hawthorn. I was very fortunate to do a lot of things with him. I tried to get a bit more money out of him at certain points in time, and he never budged. So, no, he's a brilliant operator. And I guess what everyone saw in the football world, what he did at Collingwood and how quickly he turned them around. He went from footy manager to CEO, back to footy manager. I'm sure they would say exactly the same things that people at Hawthorn say about him. So I have spoken to him, and I think he's very much looking forward to New York.
Who was the best at sort of keeping Clarko in second gear? There's Fags was there for a while. Wrighty was there. Foxy, the CEO. Who sort of did the best job at keeping Clarko calm?
That was a group job. Now it's Todd Viney's turn at North Melbourne.
Yes.
Well, we wish Todd all the best in that one as well. Ben, it's a tough start of the year for the Kangaroos. Let's get to the Adelaide Oval. That's where we'll be tonight, and it's where Gather Round starts between the Crows and the Demons. Grateful for the time of the coach of the Adelaide Crows, Matthew Nix, who joins us on the Thursday rub. Nixie, thanks for being with us. Big opportunity tonight for your boys.
Yeah, huge opportunity. Similar to last year, probably not coming in our best form, but we're not lacking any confidence tonight, so we'll come out and we'll hopefully come off, you know, with people enjoying what they're seeing and maybe a result on the back of that.
Nixie, great to speak to you, and all the best for tonight. Do you speak about the occasion with the playing group? Obviously, it's a huge weekend gather around in South Australia. You're really on show. Do you address any of that sort of significance with the players, or you're still very much X's and O's?
No, we address it. Yeah, we acknowledge what it's going to be. I mean, even now I'm standing on the boundary line. There's a stage set up. Looks like Kiss are about to play.
Let's hope not.
Good call. Outside the stadium was nuts coming in. You know, so it's a different atmosphere. I think you've got to be able to embrace that. We played in it last year, and we made a real point of embracing it, making sure that we we acknowledged it, and then we get down to X's and O's, because you don't want to be overawed, but at the same time you want to come out as when that first bounce starts and really crack in straight away.
Nixie, there's been a lot of commentary around the start to the year, and it's a long season, and obviously there's not much to talk about. We blow a lot of things up in the media, but the back line that you guys have at the moment is a very young back line. What information are you feeding them?
Look, I think our back line have really fought hard for us. We put them under pressure at times, but we enjoy the way they're going about it. They're competing, you know, holding their own as far as back lines in the competition. When you put them under pressure, any back line's going to struggle, but I think our issues are probably in other areas of the ground, not so much that young back line that we've got.
Is that more referring to your midfield and the efficiency going inside 50?
Yeah, it's that connection, just that cohesion between our mids and forwards and our defenders. It's all 23 of the players or 22 that are playing at the moment. We're not quite playing at our best. And, there's a lot of things that can add up that can cause that where, you know, maybe just a couple trying a little bit too hard and going away from what the team needs at different points. If you dig deep into our vision and you have a good look at it, there are times where, you know, maybe we could have given an easier, earlier option. Maybe we could have used someone with a quick handball. At times we could have held our shape when, you know, rather than getting all our numbers over trying to compete and fight for the same ball. So there's a lot of things that we've looked at, not just over the last week, but the last 2 or 3 weeks of areas that we need to improve on. We understand, I think we've got, we acknowledge where the issues are. It's now getting it right. It's not as easy as just saying, let's not do that. Let's come back to playing team first and getting that all 100%. It may take us a little bit of time to get that right, but we better tonight because we're playing, I would say, one of the ultimate teams in the competition.
No, they're in great form. There's no doubt about that. So how are you going to handle their power and the dynamite, the breakthrough run they have through the middle of the ground? What's your plan to try and contain Petrarca and Oliver, because and Pickett as well, who goes through there, Nixie? I mean, they've got some absolute superstars where you are still relatively a youngish midfield.
Yeah, we've got a couple of people that are about to take Petrarca out now. He's just a couple of local Adelaideans. He's one, so we'll get him down, and then Viney's another one, and then Oliver. And yeah, you listed them off. If you go over there, their entire squad, they're a very strong group, but That's the challenge we have. That's the one we've got to embrace. We are a younger side, but we have some talent as well when we play our best footy. And, you know, we're not going to shy away from we're not there at the moment. It doesn't take much, though, you know, for it to just click back into gear. And I think I feel like we've had a really, really strong week in that space. And that doesn't mean that the result's necessarily going to go our way against the Melbourne tonight, but I'm really confident our guys will come out and put a show on.
Speaking to Adelaide coach Matty Nixon, 5 changes at selection. And Nixie, obviously, as senior coach, you'd like to show faith and patience throughout, but there's a bit of a statement there.
Yeah, 2 were forced as well. So, yeah, 2 of the boys, unfortunately, with injury. You know, Wayne was really, really disappointing for such a... you know, incredible footballer, but an even better person. For what he's now got ahead of him, that challenge, we'll be right there with him right throughout it. But it's, you know, the players were gutted with that, and Murph will be out for probably 3 to 5. So, you know, they're forced changes. So coming back to how many we've made, the others were well deserved. You know, there were opportunities where guys had played well at the lower level, probably unlucky not to play round one, but didn't quite get the nod at that stage. And sitting at 0-3, where we're not getting, we're not getting some of our team stuff right. The thing we needed to do was bring in guys that deserved an opportunity.
When you win tonight, what have you done when that final siren goes?
I love that language.
Well, I'm a big fan. I love your list and what you're building at the moment. Your forward line gets me excited, and Jordan Dawson's probably my favourite player to watch. So, yeah, when you win, what are we looking for?
As in, am I going over to the hill to skull a pine or something?
Well, you can if you want. I'll join you on Friday and Saturday night.
I've got to be really careful here because I'll say something.
You never do that if there's a microphone in front of you.
I tell you what, we win tonight. I wouldn't mind going over there and knocking down a few with the locals. But I think it'll be just a nice way for us to look at each other and know that the work we've done during the last couple of weeks, or at least this last week especially, has come to fruition.
Nixie, always great to chat to you on Triple M Footy. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Appreciate it, guys. Cheers.
Matthew Nix, the coach of the Adelaide Crows.
Were you sort of more asking then about...
I think he took my question the wrong way.
He took it too literally.
Mind you, I'll go to Hindley Street with him.
You were talking about what has to happen on field for them to win, am I right?
Well, I said the question, and I've written it down here. Yeah. When you win tonight, what have you shown us?
He thought you were talking about 6 pints.
You know what that tells us? That's a man who's had a tough start of the year and needs a beer, Matthew Nix. Well, I was interested... Izzy, you said before about that maybe some people have overrated them or had overrated them at the start of the year. Where did you have them, Jay, the Adelaide Crows?
I don't think I had them in my 8.
No,
I said
not,
to be honest.
Yeah.
They didn't do much in the trade period, did they? So there weren't a lot of additions or top-ups. I still think, you know, Rochelle and Rankin are exciting players. You mentioned Jordan Dawson. But other than that, there is still a lot of young developing stuff. So I think they're a year or two away. I think that a good trade period this year will to give them a bit of power in the midfield, potentially another A-grader there. would be handy. But, gee, they're up against some good players this Melbourne team. And the talent they have and the system they're playing at the moment holds in really strong position tonight.
And they are very well led, of course, by their coach, Simon Goodwin, who joins us on the Thursday Rub. Goody, thanks for being with us. It's almost been a week, hasn't it, that you boys have been in Adelaide?
Yeah, look, we've been here a full week, obviously 5 days since our last game. But, you know, it's been a great time for us to connect and obviously really prepare as best we can. It's rare that you get to play, you know, two games away from home on the same oval against really good teams. So, we know the challenge that we're up for, and we've been here all week preparing.
So, Goody, what do you do? So you got your football training, obviously, but off the field, how do you bond? How do you get together? What do you do with all this spare time? Play a bit of euchre or canasta or go to the movies together?
What
do you guys get up to? Well, you can't train all the time, so what happens?
Yeah, the boys have had a fair few games of cards, and obviously table tennis has been a big winner, but most nights the boys have been able to connect and go out for dinner and get away from the hotel. So there's been, you know, line groups have gone out together and different groups have had breakfast together and just got around each other. So you can see that connection that's been building all week, and that was the reason why we wanted to stay.
Sounds a bit boring, to be honest.
Hey, sorry, mate, there's no canasta.
Now, after the first round...
Canasta, come on, Jay.
I don't even know the game you're talking about.
It was a ruse game, actually. You always used to speak about canasta. Hey, after the opening round loss to Sydney, we were critical of the forward connection. We thought, 2023 is going to turn into 2024 and Melbourne still can't hit the side of the barn inside forward 50. Well, haven't things changed over the past fortnight? Last weekend against Port Adelaide, 45 inside 50s, 21 scores. In the win over Hawthorn, 23 scores from 55 entries inside forward 50. How have you sharpened the sword, Goody?
We've just gone to work over the summer. It's been obviously something that we've really lent into. You know, it cost us big games last year at the end of the season, and then you can bury your head in the sand and say we're not going to change anything, but we needed to change. We needed to make some adjustments to what we were doing, and clearly it's starting to come out in the way we're playing. We're kicking the ball better inside 50. We've got better patterns inside 50, and we're getting better opportunities. And clearly last week, you don't want to live off that many entries. You can't win too many games of footy off 45 entries, but how effective we were, how efficient we were, and how we took our moments in front of goal, that was the difference in the game. So it's something that we've worked on. It's coming out. You know, it won't be there every week, but we think we're in the right direction with it.
Yeah, Goody, I was up in Sydney and I watched you guys round one, and it was sort of those question marks. You probably played the SCG a little bit wider than what we may have thought. But since then, I reckon two blokes that haven't been in the doghouse, but have been playing a lot of AFL footy in McDonald and Brown. I feel like they're the two that have nearly got you going and straightened you up a little bit.
Yeah, they have. You know, they've had great pre-seasons, both of them. You know, obviously Ben Brown had a bit of a knee issue through the summer at times, but they've both got their bodies in fantastic condition. You know, Tom McDonald's moving as well as I've ever seen him, as is Ben Brown. And, you know, those two are really important players. They're experienced players and they know how to play their position incredibly well. So they have straightened us up at each end of the ground and given us different looks. So, you know, we're really proud of the way they've gone about it. Probably at the end of last season, both those players you're talking about were probably questioning how long they had left in the game. And I think now you see them in the way they're physically moving. They're playing some great footy.
Big Ben Brown.
Sorry, Jay-Z. One thing I've learned about Jay-Z here, Goody, is he just jumps in first and I can never get anything happening.
Yeah, it's that game of canasta must be better jumping in.
Off you go, Jay-Z. The floor is yours.
I was going to say...
Talk to us about canasta, Jay.
Big Ben Brown. No, he told me a couple of weeks ago he's had 9 surgeries on his left knee. Yet still moving quite well and it's quite effective... which is quite amazing, really. But he still says that he has more footy left in him and has clearly made the difference. That wasn't my question, though, Goody. 3 years ago, Isaac Smith, when he left Hawthorn, went to Geelong. Now, I understand that Melbourne was the other club who was strongly interested in him. Now, did you get to sit down and have a presentation with Isaac? And what did it? Was it not good enough? Was there not pizzazz in it? Not enough sort of bickies in the bag? How come you weren't able to get him over the line here?
That's a great question, Jade. I've been meaning to ask Isaac this for a while now. I don't know what Chris Scott's done, whether he's pulled out the best bottle of red or something, but something's going on that I don't know about. But no, obviously, you know, we pitched Isaac, high quality player, and, you know, it's funny how it all works out. If he went to either team, I'm sure he would have had the success that he wanted. And, you know, we were pretty keen to get him because of what type of player he was and what type of person he is.
Well, I did say to the boys after that 2021 prelim, Goody, that they'd cost me a flag and cut my dream to you.
I thought you might have been thinking that 2022 was a bit different, though.
Oh, very good. Now, Simon, I have to ask you a quick serious one. Straighten up for a second. Your former club docked the last week, set up to 2/3 of your playing list. while he was there at the club were users of drugs, either occasionally or frequent. Now, I know you're probably not reading the paper as regularly as you once did, but what was your response to that? Because it was an incredible claim.
Yeah, no, I went and played Canasta. That's how seriously I took it. Now, we've moved on as a footy club. That was a long time ago, obviously with former people at our footy club. So, you know, we've actually moved forward and, you know, that's the sort of things that are in the rear vision mirror. So we're not even looking in that space.
Goody, it's extraordinary. Two-thirds of your playing list were drug users. That's what he's like. That it's, you know, that's not saying a handful or a couple or in line with society. Two-thirds, like, you would have fallen off your chair.
Oh, that's why we're not even talking about it. It's ridiculous. So we just keep moving forward. We keep focusing on what we can control, and that's our footy. And as a footy club, we're really proud of what we stand for and what we belong and make our people proud to belong, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, you've done an amazing job, Goody. You'd have to be proud of your leaders, though. After the summer you've had, I thought Gawn, Petrarca, even Oliver, what Viney's done, yep. He looks like he's the glue. Yeah, you'd have to be very proud of what they're doing on the football field at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've been a massive part of building the culture that we're about high performance, and they take great pride in their footy club, and they're incredible the way they set the standards, the way they drive performance, and the way they're playing at the moment. You can see how connected our group is. You know, they're right in behind each other, they're supporting each other, and they're great leaders to have. They're experienced, and they've been through the ups and downs, the adversity that the game brings, and they're coming out the other side. So I'm really proud of how they're going about it.
Goody, thanks for joining us, as always, on Triple M Footy. I suppose we can count you out of the next game of Canasta with Jay Clark, I'm guessing.
Thanks, guys.
That's a no. That's a no.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. Jay-Z Clark, Isaac Smith, Jack Hevron. We're about an hour away from the bounce of the ball between the Crows and the Demons. Is he? What are you chuckling at over
Jay-Z
there?
Jay-Z was sweating in Sydney.
No, mate. The illicit drugs policy is the biggest story in football at the moment. Melbourne is, rightfully or wrongfully, at the centre of it. Former club doctor alleged that two-thirds of the club's list, these are occasional frequent drug users. It is as big a claim that we've seen made in football for a long period of time. Now, Melbourne clearly dismiss it, and they've said, well, if that was the case, why was that not mentioned in the 7 years of audit, risk committee sort of paperwork, etc.? There was no mention of that, they say. So I think they're a bit perplexed by it all, and you heard Goody's reaction to it then. But, I mean, you've got to take these sort of questions and claims to club leaders, and I don't think Melbourne are any stranger to this issue and the difficult questions at the moment. I mean, their former president is involved in a federal court legal claim at the moment against his own former directors at the club. Like, it's just it's a crazy story what is happening to a team that won the flag, that actually climbed the mountain. Isaac, well, how are your bonds with your premiership teammates? Like, it's just strange to me that this team and this group of officials who put everything in, climbed the mountain, won the cup, and I'd imagine that creates a bond and a friendship that lasts a lifetime, where they've got these suing each other. Like, that's what's happening at Melbourne on the back of that flag. It's an incredible. I mean, have you had any premiership reunions? I mean, you've won so many of them. It's sort of hard.
Had one last year. Yeah.
Like, yeah. What is that like, sharing that premiership bond with your teammates?
Yeah, it's great. Oh, it's great. It's what you play footy for, to be honest. It has nothing to do with anything. Well, certainly in my case, there's no individuality about actually playing football. Why you play is to play with the team and win a premiership. And there's some extremely strong bonds there. And I'm very fortunate to have a hell of a lot of premiership teammates.
What about Clark? What about this is
we're in about three of these a week now.
You're a joy to work with, Isaac.
You are.
Hey, you
teed
it up. I just had to hit it.
You are a walking TikTok. That's what you are. Our digital guys love you.
What is TikTok?
On a similar,
it's a clock.
I'm not sure we've asked you this, right? While we're on this sort of theme, what about are the kind of people, Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan? So 2 weeks ago, they went through the Human Rights Commission. We know the story well. I don't think we have to go over the facts too much, but it involved facing off or speaking to some of your former teammates, and they had a whole listening process. We know the racism issue. Can you tell us about your experience with Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan? Chris Fagan, who I know to be one of the most respected people in football, clearly. What is your reaction to all these claims about what happened throughout that time when you were there at the Hawthorn Football Club. And I know this is a question without notice. I haven't given you the heads up on this, so I apologise for that. But while we're on this issue, and while it only happened a week ago, how was your time at Hawthorn in relation to this? Were you surprised by these very serious allegations which have come forth?
Yeah, no, I was surprised. And hopefully it all gets sorted out because everyone involved, I had great relationships. I can't speak highly enough of Clarko and Chris Fagan and what they did for me and my footy. Hawthorn was a brilliant organisation to be involved in. It was a great place to be around. And you just hope with these things, especially with the Melbourne thing at the moment, you just hope it all gets sorted out. And I hate when things get played out in Media Street as well. There's certain things that just need to happen behind closed doors.
So how do you go about doing that? Can you, from a process point of view, when you have these things like the Brisbane allegations, rightfully or wrongfully, or the Hawthorn things, like when you have things go wrong at a football club, and you say it's got to be addressed behind the scenes, how have you addressed them? What have you seen that's worked in the past?
Oh, one, you can't have leaks.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you have a leak, then you can't fix anything. And my biggest experience in football and the thing that I see as the most important thing as a player, and a lot of players probably don't see this, but the thing I see that's most important is you need to have a very strong board at a football club. And usually the best boards are you've never heard of who's on the board.
Mm.
And sometimes even as a player, you don't even know who's on your board at your football club because they're that silent publicly, but they are a strong-knit group and there's never a leak out of it. And to me, that's the most important thing. And there are going to be tough conversations and there are going to be conversations when people are questioning each other and questioning people's motives and that. But if you can get a board that are all paddling in the same direction, that's when you start to see success at football club, and that's when you see clubs be really strong on and off the field.
We'll get to the team shortly, but Jay, with your new snout, Isaac, your footy brain is fantastic. The West Coast Eagles are an ongoing story, no doubt about that. And where they're at right now with their list, what we've seen so far this year, it really jumped out at me today. I was at home. I've got them on Saturday in Mount Barker. And when you actually start to put their numbers down on paper, it's frightening how bad they are right now. And it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, the discussion is all around priority picks and what the league can do to boost them up. Do they deserve that? Do you deserve to be propped up for years of poor decision-making?
Well, I think the hardest thing to see with West Coast is everyone in the football world considers them as a football powerhouse. And that's not just a powerhouse off the field. Financially, obviously, they're an extremely strong club. But on the field, their record was as good as Sydney and Geelong's of those eras. I can't even tell you how many finals they had missed before 2020 since they entered the league. They were so successful. So, yeah, it's interesting. And I don't know what's happened, but I predict they are building a very big war chest to go very hard at a lot of people because I haven't seen them throwing around too many contracts of late.
No, so they do have a lot of salary cap spaces, no doubt about that. But why would, speaking theoretically, so they like Tim English, who's what, 26?
27 now, I think, is he?
I thought 26. Oh, but maybe. Check that in a second. Yeah.
Let's not fight over that, you two.
I'll have a look while you talk.
My point is, Isaac, the question for Tim English and any
26, apparently.
Prospective free agent is, why are you going to go to a club that is so far mired to the bottom? Like, I think Liam Baker, for at the moment, clearly a gun at Richmond, is being chased by Fremantle and West Coast. If you got a good offer from Fremantle versus a good offer from West Coast, you go on a Freo who's climbing the mountain so much more quickly. You went from, your situation, you go from Hawthorn to Geelong, who's up there. Your other option was Melbourne, who was still pretty strong. As a free agent, you know, how do you attract that talent? And I don't think, we talk about money in football so much, the big bucks. How much is it to the club position and the club success? Who's going to West Coast at the moment?
Well, I think it depends on the individual and what their motives are. Mine was very much around team success, strong club, all those type of things. So I was very fortunate that I had Melbourne and Geelong that I was in deep discussions with. Other individuals is around money, like plain and simple. Other individuals are around individual performance and where they best see their football being played. So each player will have different motives. The thing that concerns me about players that go for money is that if they don't perform, especially the money's usually available at a club that's underperforming because they're the ones that have the salary cap room, then the pressure all comes for them. So as a player manager, and if I was a player manager, you've got to be very careful on advising your player to take the biggest dollar if they're not going to be supported on the field, because that's where you get criticised, either publicly or privately. So, yeah, you got to be wise about how you do it, and it'll be interesting because the confidence I would have with West Coast as a player, if I was a player on free agency right now, is that they are a strong club. Their track record says that they will be a successful club. They've gone through a period of obviously mismanagement, not only with their players, injuries, salary cap, and a few other things, but you would, as a player, expect them to be the powerhouse in WA very soon.
Well, I don't know that he's going to be that very soon. You look at the young talent. It's only Jinbi, Oscar Allen, Hewitt, and Harley Reid. Other than that, I think it's a bit of an abyss. I think they've been almost too loyal to some of their senior players. Well,
That can happen quickly now with trade and all that.
Quickly, did I hear you say before that you took less money to go for Geelong? Did you leave money on the table? Did you get a better offer from Melbourne but then went to Geelong for less money? Is that what you said before?
Yeah, well, it was the least amount of money that anyone was offering, yes.
So you would have got more from Hawthorn to stay?
Yes.
You're asking all the big questions tonight, aren't you? You put your big boy pants on tonight, Jay.
That's to your point, isn't it? Because you've taken the smallest offer for the chance of the most success. And I know Melbourne won a flag too, but that was how you assessed it all. And I'm sure lifestyle comes into that as well.
Yeah, there was family decisions around that and a few other, but that's, yeah. And every player is different. And that's the thing about being a list manager or a recruiter. You've got to be able to see what motivates that player and what desires they have.
I like it. I like it a lot. A
few flags.
You have asked.
Norm Smith.
You've asked some real serious ones tonight.
He's came in with a fully loaded gun.
You know what happened? As soon as we said he was a licensed boxer, he just started to shape up and just square the shoulders out a little bit.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
45 minutes away from the bounce of the footy. It's the Crows and the Demons to start. Gather round. Before that, it's the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals and drink responsibly. Of course, Isaac Smith, Jay Clark, and Jack Heffron.
I used a bit of Thirsty Camel in my uni days.
You what, sorry?
You used a bit of Thirsty Camel in my uni days.
I'm a frequent Thirsty Camel.
Yeah.
There's one.
That was $16.08 Smirnoff Double Blacks.
Yes. Hello to...
What?
Hello to Sam and Tubby. Do a great job there at Thirsty
Camel. Just around the corner from my place as well, which gets a ferocious hiding from time to time. Teams are in, Jay.
Yes.
Where do you want to start here? Are we starting with numbers? Because if we are, the Gold Coast have got about 10 out.
Yeah, plenty of changes at Gold Coast. And they're playing some of those young academy stars. So I like this from Dimmer. But one of the big stories, I think, is at Brisbane, of course, your old mate Fags, been under the pump after a poor loss to Collingwood last week. In fact, they're still searching for their first win. You'd think they'd get it against North Melbourne, who are undersized down back. No disrespect to Toby Pink, but if Eric Hipwood can't play himself into form then this weekend, then he might be in some trouble because Fags has backed in Hipwood there, but all their forwards have been out of form, not just him. I think Charlie's been a little bit flat. Joey Danaher has been down too, but Gardner and Tunstall come in for the Lions, out Fort and Robertson, but Hipwood keeps his spot at Essendon. Will Setterfield comes in for Sammy Durham, who is out concussed. Jason Horne-Francis in for that game against the Bombers.
Yeah,
he's at Port Adelaide. You're a Hornet fan?
Oh, I reckon he's going to be a star. Yeah. Don't you? He's got that right aggression and he's just a beast.
I'd jump out of his way that quick if there was a footy in between.
Oh, and you reckon you're all right in the boxing ring?
I just said I won. I didn't say it was any good.
He's not going to let up on this.
Yeah.
Who'd you fight, by the way?
Andrew Battleship.
Who?
Andrew Battleship.
What's he do?
He couldn't battle for ship.
My name is Sugar J. Clark. Not Sugar Ray, Sugar J. Sydney, Taylor Adams is back.
This gets better and better.
Former Collingwood star and Harry Cunningham as well. Dane Rampey's a big loss for Swans. What are you laughing at, Leroy? Fremantle unchanged again. March back out. Kemp in for the Blues. The Bulldogs in. Ed Richards out. Caleb Poulton at the Cats. Zach Tuohy and Reece Stanley come back in. Toby Conway out managed, which is interesting.
5-day break. They'd planned it all along. Like, this is where Geelong Football Club are very good.
Yep.
That they knew their schedule, and you can do this when you win early, and they'd won games early. But they knew that they needed Reece Stanley and Zach Tuohy against the Western Bulldogs in Adelaide. And Toby Conway will play a lot of footy this year. I'm his biggest fan. I thought he was very good in the industry.
Yep.
But this is where they're very good at managing their players, and Toby, he will play a game and then he won't, and Reece will play and they'll have a fresh ruckman. And very, very good.
like a tag team event. Yeah. In the
don't want to give too much away, but very good.
Back in the day. How good a player. I keep hearing about Max Holmes, and we see him. You know, he's a heartbeat of the Cats. How good a player is he?
Heartbeat?
Well, of the
emergence.
He's
just signing him in with Joel Selwood.
Well, of the re-emergence. Of the re-emergence. When you say who's the good young talent coming through, he's the first cab off the rank, isn't he?
Oh, Toby. How good Toby.
Well, Toby's got him covered, do you think?
Oh, I like Big Tobes. But no,
well, Max
no,
Holmes is going to get paid.
Max has got some, he's got some talent. He's got some great attributes.
Is a butt coming here?
No, not butt, but he's still, there is a butt. But Max is still learning the game of football. Mm. And he's still got so much improvement in him. Not just, his skills and his ability are on show at the moment, but once he actually learns the game of football, he'll become a lot better footballer. And he's already playing great football, so that bodes well for him. But yeah, I'm a big Max fan, but I'm really interested and looking forward to seeing his improvement.
I guess the other one, we spoke about all the players out for the Gold Coast Suns. The other is Hawthorn, Bruce, Lewis, Watson, all in the one go, all not playing this week against Collingwood. That hurts.
Yeah, no, that does. And that does because, one, Mitchell Lewis is their focal point. I watched them on Monday, and the way they're kicking to advantage him, to him at the moment, isn't great. He'd love to be clunking more marks. But yeah, it would be tough being that key forward in that forward line at the moment. I think Bruce has been managed. A couple of little niggles, I think. And then Watson's obviously going to be out for a few weeks. But isn't he a lively top?
He looks good. The Wizard. I want to buy shares in that. Very good. Triple M C-Bus Super Weekend. Prediction C-Bus Super making hard work pay off since 1984. Normally we look at the games and look at who might win on the weekend. But we want to drill down a little bit here on Rory Lobb before we finish up, Jay-Z. What's going on and where does he fit in this team going forward?
Well, he's not in the 23 at the moment. And the Western Bulldogs senior coach Luke Beveridge addressed that at the moment. There is talk that he could be traded because he's not in possibly their best mix with a young Sam Darcy coming through the ranks. Where is his place? I don't think it's clear. But Sam, Luke Beveridge had a strong opinion on it asked today at the Kettle.
It's a chance every week, the way he's gone about it going back. And we all didn't go too well against Melbourne, and we did make that change with Sam coming in. But he's got to, you know, just got to keep a glass half full outlook that circumstances will change again, and he'll get on the end of some good fortune if he keeps working hard. So I think Rory's got a really, as a guy in his early 30s, didn't play a lot of footy as a teenager. And if anyone's going to have a long career, it's Rory Lobb. So I see him as having another half a dozen years in the game. He's absolutely, significantly required and needed player at our club. And I'd hope that half a dozen years that he's got left in him will be with us.
So he's 31, half a dozen years. That takes him to 37, which would be a good effort from Rory, let's be honest. I think Sammy Darcy, to me, is one of the most talented young players in the competition. So I look forward to seeing more football from him.
We're headed to the Adelaide Oval very shortly. JB will be calling all the action with Darce. Bernie Vince will be there. Nath Brown, after last night's victory over Kane Corns, will be there. Rhett Bigland's Ethan Meldrum. That's your call team for Thursday night.
Brownie was so impressive. I thought he was so impressive in the fight last night, taking down Cornsy.
Well, you know, you're a boxer.
From one fighter to another.
I've got a belt. I've lifted the... No, he was outstanding.
I have seen photos of Jay Clark boxing, though. He couldn't have got knocked out. The headgear was that thick.
And they were bigger gloves too, so it's hard to hurt anyone with those things.
No, he was well very done. Good last night, Brownie.
Yeah, he was outstanding. And
credit to any of them, like, and yourself, stepping in the ring.
Takes courage.
It does.
Isaac said no, didn't he?
Is that true? Did they offer you?
They didn't offer enough money. No.
Fitty?
No, I didn't. I wasn't involved in this at all.
The Triple M Footy Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals. Drink responsibly.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.